Now we're going to use an overhead projector transparency, and we're going to look at this passage in Matthew chapter 11. Now in this passage we meet three particular important groups of people. The first is the individual, that's John the Baptist. The second is a much bigger group of people, and we'll find out that includes every single person here. It includes all of us, those who are called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And then, of course, it speaks of Jesus himself. The next slide, please. In the first case, in this reading, we encounter the one about whom we heard through Sue, John the Baptist. Significantly, all the four Christian Gospels speak about this son of one of Mary's relatives, a son who's destined to be the crucial one who will prepare the way for someone else, the Messiah, as Matthew 3 verse 3 says. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice calling out in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And as this forerunner, as we heard, John was distinctive. He dressed differently. He didn't dress in fine clothes, the latest of fashion in Paris or anything of the kind. He dressed, we could say, almost roughly, but at least adequately. He didn't run around with no clothes on. But what he did wear didn't call attention to himself. Not always the case about those who are religious figures of importance in our own generation. Clothes made out of camel hair, at least they lasted. They were hard wearing. A belt around his waist. He also ate differently. And this reference to locusts and wild honey is, of course, a popular expression that could be described as he ate basic food. There were no fancy cooks or kitchens or meals. It was just eating because you need to eat. You eat because you want to live. You don't live in order to eat. He focused his baptism and preaching ministry away from towns and cities. His ministry was not one of him going out to find people. It was exactly the opposite. It was of people going out to find John, to listen to his message. And he preached differently. He called people to confess their sins and to be baptized. And that's quite dramatic and radical. We must understand this. In those days, the only people who ever got baptized were people who were not Jews. And being baptized was their sign they wanted to be Jews. But here were Jews going into the desert to be baptized, as if they were saying, "We're not worthy to be called Jews. And here we are to confess our sins and to become Jews all over again." What's more significant is that in the midst of that movement, surprisingly we might find, Jesus himself goes to John to be baptized by him in the Jordan. And John the Baptist was quite reticent about this, but Jesus still went there and he did it, as if a kind of forerunner, a message, a prophetic act that shows there are no lengths to which Jesus would not go to save us all. And when that happened, the Bible says that a voice came from heaven. "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." In the meantime, Jesus began his ministry of teaching, preaching, healing, and miracles. But as we've already heard, John didn't become a disciple of Jesus. He continued his own dramatic ministry until he was arrested for criticizing the then ruler and thrown into prison. And whilst there, John kept hearing one rumor after another about what Jesus was up to and he began to have doubts about whether he was right to identify Jesus as the promised one. So he couldn't resist the temptation to send some of his followers out to inquire out there about what Jesus was doing. Now he did that because Jesus had a habit of breaking the established rules. And he also was well known for keeping rather dubious company. And he did, like many people at this time of the year, he enjoyed having a good time. Every time I've listened to the radio or watched the television this week, it's all about being the office parties and the celebrations and the good times people are trying to have. And I want to tell you, as a Christian, I've got to remember, Jesus would have been right at the heart of all of that. There's nothing wrong in having a good time at Christmas. But when Jesus heard about John's doubts about him, he sent a message. Tell him what you see and hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, and those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Now that, of course, is a quotation from the Old Testament, from the 35th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. And when Jesus went on to address the crowd, he proceeded to praise John to the heights. He said that John was the greatest of all the prophets, the chosen one to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. Not, as it happens, a prophet dressed in fine clothes, not a prophet who lived in a king's palace. In fact, he was in a king's palace, but he was in the prison in the king's palace. Yet it is clear that Jesus considered John to be the greatest of all the great prophets in the Old Testament tradition. In fact, Matthew is making it clear that in John the Baptist, that tremendous line of prophets from the Old Testament ends. He is the last of the great individual prophets. That particular ministry ends with John the Baptist. The Messiah had come, so the prophecies were being fulfilled. And although this passage gives John his great due, it makes equally clear that with the arrival of Jesus, John's prophetic ministry is ending. And before he leaves that message, and before, of course, John is executed, Jesus had made this dramatic prophecy. I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there's not been anyone greater than John the Baptist. So it's right and proper that in the Christian calendar, we remember John the Baptist in a special way today. He came from a great line of prophetic servants of God. But I think we also need to remember some words of John himself speaking about Jesus in John 3:30, when he said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And that might be a good theme to remember for ourselves and embrace it afresh today. But he then goes on, Matthew, to make a dramatic new statement. Next slide, please. This is a very surprising bit of this passage, and one which I have to say very sadly and with regret is frequently ignored in sermons about it. It's this dramatic, surprising statement. John the Baptist is the greatest, yet, he who is least in the kingdom is greater than he. So I suppose I could get away with saying, he may be the greatest, but as I look out now, I'm seeing many, many, many examples of those who are greater than even John the Baptist. I wonder why Jesus would say that. What does it mean for us? Well, I think we have to remember that John the Baptist, as we heard, was never a disciple of Jesus. He did not witness the crucifixion of Jesus. He certainly hadn't witnessed, because he was already dead himself, the resurrection of Jesus. Nor would he have seen the coming of the kingdom with the growth of the church of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven on earth. And that's the reason why Jesus could say emphatically and categorically, he who is least in the kingdom is greater than he. So I'm looking out at a group of people and I'm looking back at myself thinking, we are greater than John the Baptist. Think about that as we give due to John the Baptist this morning. And then we come to the third slide, which focuses on the third focus of the passage, which is on Jesus himself. I can just get across here. The prophetic ministry, which ended with John the Baptist, continues through his church. And as we give witness to that, we speak of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. And this ministry which we exercise as we tell the good news of Jesus Christ, God with us, God amongst us, God in Christ giving himself for us. He really was the promised one. He really is the Messiah. And when in Matthew chapter 1:21, Joseph was instructed to give a name to this child who was born, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas, he was to be given the name Jesus, Yeshua. God is salvation, is what it means. That, of course, is the very heart of the Advent and Christmas season. And we remember that as we celebrate communion in a short while. As 1 John 4:14 puts it, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. You see, John the Baptist was right to agree to baptize Jesus. And perhaps those words should be at the back of our minds, at least this weekend when we think of John the Baptist, when John the Baptist himself said, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's a personal motto to think about. The church occasionally falls into the trap of speaking and thinking principally about itself, when the centre of our message ought to be on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And as we celebrate our communion this morning, we are brought back to that reality that only by grace can we enter, only by grace can we stand. And we pray that God will bless all our friends and family, and those we know in the Church of Jesus Christ, principally those connected to Tamworth Baptist Church. And we pray that God will ensure we all have a great Christmas together.